Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Nelcast Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sonia Keswani from EY Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Sonia.
Thanks, Manuja. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Nelcast Limited, welcome you to the company's Q3 and nine-month FY24 earnings conference call. You would have already received the results and investor presentation, which is also available in our filings with the exchange. To discuss the company's business performance during the quarter and outlook, we have with us today Mr. P. Deepak, the Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. S. K. Shivakumar, the Chief Financial Officer of Nelcast. Before we proceed with the call, a disclaimer: please do note that anything said on this call during the course of the interaction and in our collaterals, which reflects the outlook towards the future or which should be construed as a certain forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks the company faces and may not be updated from time to time. More details are provided at the end of the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on our website, www.nelcast.com. Should you have any queries or need any further information at the end of this call, you can reach out to us at the email addresses mentioned in the company collaterals. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Deepak. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sonia. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today for our Q3 and nine-month FY24 earnings call. I'd like to start with the business developments in Q3 FY24, followed by our outlook for the next couple of quarters. On an overall basis, while we continue to see strong performance in our exports business, performance in the medium and heavy commercial vehicles and the tractor segment was subdued and ended up impacting our revenue growth for the quarter. Total revenue stood at 323 crores in Q3 of FY24, which was down 3% year-on-year and 11% quarter-on-quarter. For our export segment, we continue to sustain quarterly run rate of excess of 100 crores and did close to 118 crores in the quarter and around 339 crores in the nine months of FY24. While the nine-month figure now already exceeds what we have completed in the entire FY23, this gives us the confidence to comfortably meet our FY24 export guidance of 400 crores. Going ahead, the growth trajectory will continue to remain strong, driven by a robust order book and new product launches. On the other hand, underperformance in the M&HCV was due to reduction in production in the overall industry. Tractors suffer muted demand in the rural economy. We expect M&HCV to recover back on the pickup in construction activity and infrastructure spends. However, tractors are expected to report only a modest growth next year as well. Talking about the sector-wise breakup of revenue for the nine months, the revenues for M&HCV stood at 38%, exports contributed 35%, tractors was 21%, railways was 3%, and off-highway equipment and others contributed around 2%. EBITDA per kg for Q3 FY24 stood at 12.1 rupees per kg, which is a growth of 21% year-on-year, driven by an increase in contribution from exports that have higher margins, as well as the normalization of raw material prices and operational efficiencies. For the nine months of FY24, EBITDA per kg was rupees 13 per kg, which was in line with our guidance of about 12 rupees per kg for FY24. Go ahead, we expect our margins will continue to improve on the back of our growing export business, as well as the recovery in the domestic segments and improved operational efficiency. In the last earnings call, we outlined our detailed strategy around improving profitability through four key levers. To reiterate, there's been a conscious shift from manufacturing basic components to higher margin value-add components, which is supported by our state-of-the-art manufacturing capabilities. Second is our focus on our fast-growing export business. Third is the improvement in capacity utilization levels and removing bottlenecks. and fourth is overall process optimization. While we remain focused on our strategy, internally we've been recognized by prominent customers as well as institutes. During the quarter, we were awarded the best exporter of the year in the large foundry category from the Indian Institute of Foundrymen. Tata Motors awarded us for our cost competitiveness during their annual supply conference in 2023. And Automotive Axles recognized our efforts to setting up the Pedaparia plant by rewarding us with our excellence in new facility creation and castings. We are immensely grateful and appreciate the faith our customers have in us and are committed towards delivering quality. We can now open the floor for any questions and address your queries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Namita Arora from Int Growth Capital.
Thank you for the opportunity. Deepak, thank you for the helpful opening remarks. My question is specifically on exports. Could you give us some color, firstly, on the new product launches that you are planning for H1 FY25, some color on what kind of products and where you are in terms of the development cycle for these products? And secondly, in terms of customers, are you looking to go deeper and get more wallet share from your current customers, or are you also in the process of breaking through with some new customers, specifically on the export side? Thank you.
Sure. So I think on the exports front, we do have several products that are slated for launch. I think there's a couple of products that are in the EV space that was actually slated for launch in H2 of FY24 that got delayed by the launch of the actual end product. The vehicle itself got delayed by General Motors apparently due to the UAW strike that was there. So they postponed the launch of the vehicle by about 6 months. So we believe that that should more or less in the first quarter of FY25 come into production. So that's some new products that are already there in the pipeline and that should have been launched. Other than that, there's some other products again for the US market that we are anticipating to launch towards the end of H1 of FY25. So those are we've received an LOI for development as well as started, all the technical reviews and all of that is currently going on. The tooling development will perhaps start in another 2 to 4 weeks or so is what we anticipate there. In addition to that, there's a couple of other products that I think we're in the approval stages. So we expect that also to launch perhaps within at the start of, FY25. So we have several products that are there. Different products have different development cycles as well as launch cycles in terms of depending on their testing requirements and all of that. So some of these might get slightly delayed. We don't know exactly, but we expect that, in terms of an annual run rate for new business, where we expect to be perhaps by the end of FY25, so this is over and above the businesses that we have today, we think that something around a 150 crore a year kind of a number is compared to where we are today, we should have that kind of an additional run rate by the end of FY25. And in terms of wallet share was your second question. We're trying to do both. We're trying to improve our wallet share with our existing customers. Fortunately, we've done that quite successfully in the last few years, and I think we will continue to do so. But we are also working on new customers. There's some new products as well for new customers that we are working on. And hopefully if those do materialize, then we are quite excited because that gives us a lot more opportunities as well.
Got it. Thank you, Deepak, for very detailed and helpful comments. I have just one more question that was on the Indian infrastructure space. I recognize there has been some sort of a slowdown, especially on commercial vehicles. But do you expect that post-elections, you know, sort of the focus on infrastructure and the spend might come back and your customers, you know, may be ramping up their volumes? And from a product suite standpoint, to cater to the Indian infrastructure opportunity, are you well positioned or are you looking at adding some more products there? I'm just looking at sort of the five-year period post-elections in middle of this year, next 5 years. How are you positioned on the infrastructure opportunity in India and what are your thoughts about the potential of that? Thank you.
I think within the M&HCV space, a bigger chunk of what we do actually goes more towards the heavier trucks, specifically the tippers, which are used a lot more on the infrastructure spend, right? Construction, shallow mining, these kind of activities. So we've got a lot of products and a much higher share of business in these kind of products. So we are quite, you know, eager to look at India's infra going to the next level in terms of the kind of investment that's going to happen, and we will undoubtedly benefit from that. And we are continuously updating our products as well to make sure that we are, you know, part of that story.
Got it. Thank you, Deepak, and all the very best to the entire team. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rehan Pofolia from Sycomoro Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, all. So congrats on a set of good numbers. I think the revenue declined a little, margins were sort of maintained. Can you just help me with what is the top line growth you expect in FY25? And what is your EBITDA margin expectation given the number of new products that you'll be launching in the next financial year? I think you said an additional 150 crores of exports is what you expect year on year in the next year. So if you can also help me with how much growth do you see on the domestic business side?
Yeah, okay. So I think next year is going to be a challenge, slightly more challenging in order for us to project out, mainly because of the elections that are coming up, and you know, that's creating some level of uncertainty, at least in terms of understanding, you know, not just continuity of government, which, but also the other part is the kind of expenditure that the government is going to undertake over the next year, right? So it's a little harder to estimate. We would certainly aim for a number that is in the double digits in terms of top line growth. That is something that we do intend to aim for. And we do have some new products in the pipeline that I think will help us with that. In terms of the export growth that I mentioned, that 150 crores, I'm just talking about, you know, where the exit run rate would probably be at the end of next year versus where we are today, right? I've not necessarily, you know, I want to make sure that from a clarity standpoint, I'm not stating that next year we expect to grow 150 crore in export, but I'm just talking about the exit with the new product launches that will happen, you know, during the course of the year, right? So that's that. And then in terms of the EBITDA growth, which I think was the other question that you had, we do intend to continue growing. We think that with the growth in exports as well as as well as with better capacity utilizations, we've said that in the next 2 to 3 years we'd like to be at about 15 rupee per kg. So right now in the last quarter we were at about 12. The year so far we are at about 13. So we think something in that 13 to 14 range is what we will be targeting for an EBITDA number for the upcoming year.
Sure, thanks. Also, given that tractors are a large part of your revenue, I think 21% in 9 months ended FY24, how do you plan on replacing the segment since you don't see that much growth here?
Like I said, I think tractors is a, you know, long term also, right? I think it's probably a low to mid single digit CAGR kind of industry growth that we are seeing right now, and that's what's being projected by, you know, all the CRISILs and the ICRAs and all these other agencies that are doing the research. So I think we believe that there will be, you know, more M&HCV growth, but I think exports is going to be really the biggest lever that we can utilize the opportunity on. And there are some really, you know, great opportunities that are there and we are working on trying to break through on some of those opportunities.
Okay, sure. Just last two questions. One question is, what is your plan with respect to the current level of debt on the balance sheet? Are we looking to maintain it or reduce, or what is the plan?
So largely it will be a maintain kind of a thing, perhaps for the next year or two, because we will see our working capital needs go up, you know, if we have the right kind of growth and we grow our exports, which we do intend to. So we will see some increase in our working capital requirements, and we will also, you know, as we pay down term loans as well, we will expect to see some term loan debt come down, right? So over the next 2-3 years, I think definitely the debt level will stay similar, but I think the mix of it will, of the debt will change, and I would expect that it would be, you know, more of working capital where the increase will happen, where it will be, you know, justified based on business growth.
Sure, that helps. And finally, can you just help us understand the exceptional item? You know, what's the location of the land and what was the purpose of the sale?
Sure. So the land that we sold was an excess piece of land. This is something that we had purchased in 2007 in the state of Andhra Pradesh. It was intended at that particular time for setting up a foundry at that point of time. However, I think we don't feel that that was the appropriate location to set up a foundry, and we didn't have any specific use for that land. And therefore, we decided to dispose of it, and we were able to find a buyer and a price that gave us that 17.28 crores, which is reported as an exceptional item in the P&L.
Sure, I think that helps. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of C.A. Nihar Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. One small question on the guidance we have given in Q1 of FY24, that company is expecting double-digit top-line growth for the entire year. But in nine months, we have seen growth of around 2%. So how are we planning to achieve it? Do we want to give revised guidance on that?
Yeah, so I think, unfortunately, at that point of time, we were expecting, the tractor market also to stay fairly robust. I think we were expecting a 4-5% growth to happen in the industry versus what now looks like it might be a, 3-4% degrowth that we might end up seeing in the industry right now in tractors. And also MNHCV, we were expecting a fairly strong push happening in MNHCV. We think Q4 and MNHCV will be, fairly okay, but overall we think MNHCV is going to be flat compared to last year. I think on the export front, what we expected to grow, we have managed to do a little bit better than that. But I think, unfortunately, I think this was a tough year for the industry, both tractor as well as MNHCV overall. So it looks like, the projections and the forward-looking statements at that particular point of time with the data available then, unfortunately, have not panned out.
Okay. So what kind of growth, what's the top line we are expecting for this year to be in FY24 of the entire year?
So I think largely where we expect the fourth quarter to be is we think it will be, in terms of revenue, it will probably be, marginally better than the third quarter, and, perhaps somewhere between, the second quarter and third quarter in terms of the revenue numbers, right? So roughly that's where we see it, panning out, which puts us at about about a 1300-ish crore kind of a revenue from against, 1200 and 68, I think, was roughly last year. We would expect a marginal kind of low single digit growth at this point. That's what we have seen.
Okay. That's all from my side. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rusmik Oza from Nine Rays Equi Research. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Wanted to know what is the current capacity utilization of ours, and in the presentation you have mentioned, you know, that you can increase capacity by 50,000 if required with minimal investment. So wanted to know if you have to do this 50,000 capacity expansion, what could be the incremental cost for this capex going forward?
So our capacity utilization right now, if I look at it for the whole 9 months, is about 56% or so. For the last quarter is about 58%. Excuse me, sorry about that. You know, the additional tonnage addition that we were talking about is really addition of additional melting furnaces and some other you know, balancing equipment and all of that. So that is about, I think it will vary depending on the exact capacity and the exact investment we'll need to make, but the best estimate we can make at this point is perhaps something to the tune of maybe 60 to 80 crores kind of investment.
Okay. Sir, another question is on railways, you know, because that railways accounts only 3% of our revenue, but we've seen huge capex coming from the railway side. So any push or initiative on this on the railway side to increase the business?
So there is something that we're working on in terms of railways. There's primarily two businesses that we do on the railway front. One is we produce the brake discs that are used on the what they call the LHB coaches, right, which are the coaches used on the Rajdhanis, the Shatabdis, and these kind of what the Indian Railways called the high-speed coaches. So we produce that, as well as we produce base plates for a lot of the metro rails across the country. We are working on expanding the portfolio of brake discs to other trains as well. There were some constraints earlier that did not allow it to do it, something to do with you know, the specific chemistry that's required, which we had other automotive business on that line which we could not use that chemistry for. But now we've done some work on that, and so we are looking at some increase, but I don't think it would be anything that would make a significant difference to the overall top line, right, because the base is still fairly low.
And the last question, sir, is regarding exports. We do ductile iron and grey iron you know, castings right now. But any thoughts of getting into, say, a bigger opportunity like aluminum casting for exports, because that segment could be a big segment for us. Any diversification beyond the ductile iron and grey iron in terms of casting?
At the moment, no. And I don't see that happening perhaps for the next, you know, year and a half or 2 years. We leave the door open to, you know, the right decisions beyond that. But I think certainly for the next year or two, I think our focus is going to remain squarely on our core business, which is the iron castings.
Okay. And with exports going up in the next 1 or 2 years, do you expect the utilization levels to go up from the current 56% to around 80-85%, or what could be the max utilization levels we can achieve with this current gross block?
Yeah, you're right. 80% is the number that is you know, certainly on the cards, and that's what we would target within the next 2 to 3 years. That's a number that we definitely want to be at.
Okay. That's it from my side, sir. Thanks and best of luck.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, you can press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, the domestic market seems to be soft now as of now, but our export side we are doing well. And you further mentioned that we could add incrementally 150 crores of revenue next year. So in the near term, or maybe in next year, do you think the export could form 50% of our sales? Hello?
50% would be, yeah, sorry. 50% would be, you know, quite a tough number. We hope that the domestic will also pick up. Right now we're at about 35%, so let's move up to 40 and then look at growth beyond that.
Maybe 2 years down the line is possible, sir? 2-3 years down the line?
Certainly, right? Two, three years, we're working towards it. We're also trying to work towards some new things on the domestic side as well. So hopefully if those pan out, we hope those will also pan out.
Yeah. And sir, you mentioned that capacity utilization, I think 55 to 60%. So if we move to 80-85%, then obviously the margins should move up significantly from here.
Yeah, so I think that's what we've talked about is, you know, we're looking to get to close to about a 15 rupee per kg EBITDA margin from, you know, the 12 to 13 that we currently are at for the year so far. So we think that that's, you know, certainly very much on the cards if we get to a higher capacity utilization, something in that realm of 75 to 80%.
This typically we have seen that whenever in foundry business or in a forging business, whenever the utilization go up, there is a disproportionate benefit that accrues in the income statement.
Yep, that's what we're working for, right, for sure.
Okay. Well, sir, last question from my end. I'm at the macro level, are we benefiting? I mean, is there any China plus one, or not China plus one, plus Euro plus one, or any kind of more sourcing coming from international arena to us in terms of inquiries?
Yeah, so I think if we look at, you know, a lot of the business that we won, especially in the last 3 years, right, during COVID and after COVID, a lot of it was, earlier was actually domestic plus one. When I say domestic, let's say in the U.S. market, you know, they might have been sourcing locally within the U.S. And then they added as a supplier. And then, you know, due to different constraints, capacities, costs, variety of things, inflation, variety of things that were happening there, we were able to gain a much greater share of business. And in most cases, I would say, we went from being the plus one to being the primary, right? So it was just, we went from being some of the suppliers plus us to being only us supplying the components. So we've certainly benefited from some degree of offshoring that's happened on the products that we do. In terms of the China plus one, a large amount of the work that was being done in China was, you know, kind of a lot of it was a higher volume, but much lower in complexity and much more, you know, pricing driven kind of product, which we weren't necessarily there in. And, you know, a large chunk of our strategy has been to be in more complex, the higher value added work, right? So there is one specific product where we have won a business as a China plus one. I don't think it will make a significant, you know, difference to the overall top line or bottom line of the company, because it's not very big business, you know, something to the tune of, you know, 10 to 15 crores a year kind of thing. But largely, it's, you know, we've been competing against local foundries, whether it's in US or in Europe, and winning business accordingly. Now, I think there's going to be a lot more within Europe of a Europe plus one. I think there's a lot of question marks and concerns regarding the health of financial health, as well as, you know, some of the environmental restrictions that are going to come in for foundries in Europe. So we think that that's going to be a very strong opportunity, you know, to play out in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years.
Okay, sure. Sir, last question. CapEx plan for next 2 years?
So I think we would look at, you know, largely most of it would be a maintenance CapEx. There might be a few, you know, upgradation to equipment as well as we continue to grow our exports. So I think in total, you know, I would say, you know, next 2 years, right, FY25 and FY26, put together at this point, I would expect that, you know, it would probably be about a 60 crore kind of a number for both the years put together.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you very much. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prolin, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Deepak. Thank you for all the update about the company. You know, you mentioned that you have an aspiration to reach about 15 rupees per kg in terms of EBITDA per kg the margin part. Is this largely driven by increasing capacity utilization or there is a product mix also which will help you reach there, in terms of 15 rupees per kg margin? And what is the timeline that you're looking for in terms of reaching that 15 rupees per kg? And also just wanted to understand that, how should one look at your business, right? There would be lots of products which would be, let's say for example, right now you're earning 12 to 13 rupees per kg. There would be some products which would be below 10. There would be some which will be above 15, 16. So do we want to move large part of our business towards a higher margin and exit some of the business which is low margin? So how do you as a promoter of the business look at this metric, and where should this number be, let's say, not in the next couple of years, but in the 3 to 5 years kind of time when it comes to EBITDA per kg metric?
Yeah. So getting the EBITDA per kg to that, 15-ish kind of a number is something that, we'd ideally like to be able to do it within 2 years. Perhaps maybe it might push to 3 years, but something in that 2 to 3 year range is what we would like to do that, right? There are two things. One, of course, as you said, and as one of the other investors had talked about earlier, it will have to do with capacity utilizations and, better operating leverage coming in, right? But beyond that, there's many things we're doing on the cost front, whether it is, cost of energy, cost of materials, a lot of optimization that we're continuing to do, and the product mix, right? The product mix also will play a role, especially in our newer plant in Pedaparia. We have the ability to make significantly more complex parts, larger parts, where it's, less competitive pressures. So certainly I think that, it will be a mix of all of these that it will take our blended number there. Coming to the question of, are there businesses today that we have that where the margins are lower? Absolutely there are. And what's the correct call to do on those? It's a very difficult and complicated question to answer, because we can't, I don't think there's a, answer I can make that's kind of carte blanche on it. Mainly because, some of these are businesses that, while the individual product may not necessarily be, so profitable or ideal, as a strategic decision, those are products that we may want to do, right? So sometimes we will have to make those hard calls and have to, be willing to walk away from some business. But I think largely a lot of what we have today is strategic, and we will continue to keep it looking at it as an overall basket rather than an individual product.
Sure, that is very helpful, Deepak. Just to double click on that, you mentioned that in Pedaparia plant, a relatively newer plant, you make far heavier kind of casting there. So just to understand, would it be the margins that we earn from some of the products there would be in the range of 15 to 16 even today also? Is that a fair way to look at it?
So right now Pedaparia is the being the newest plant also has the lowest capacity utilization, right? So that definitely hurts the margins that we have over there at the Pedaparia plant, right? And there's been a lot of new product development, a lot of stabilization activities that are happening over there. So I think right now might not be the best time to comment on it, but certainly with the product mix that we have and the expected costing structure that we have once the capacity utilization is ramped up, we would expect, to have Pedaparia probably at a 15 plus number, within kind of what would be a steady state.
Great. Thanks a lot, Deepak. That's it from my side.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor and Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, namaskar Deepak sir and Shivaji.
Hi, namaskar.
How are you? Yes, sir. Sir, firstly, if you could give what was the total realized value from the sale of land? How much have we sold the land for?
So let me Let me get back to you with that number. It's the profit number is 17.28, which is what we've reported. The investment at that time must have been, I think it was
7 or 8 crores.
7 or 8 crores, I think, was the actual investment back in 2007. So approximately.
So net sales we have got around 25-26 crore rupees.
Yeah, something in that, approximately, yes.
Okay, and that has gone to our working capital book. The exact money we have lowered our working capital requirement by that amount. That is what the utilization of fund is.
Yes.
Okay, sir. You have mentioned the fourth lever. If I could just on slide number 7, value added products, export business expansion, improving of capacity utilization levels and cost optimization. So on all these four verticals, what steps are in the anvil and what steps would culminate going ahead that would add to the revenue and the profitability going ahead? If you could just elaborate on how have we strategized on these four parameters. And on the pet career unit also, sir, if you could, I requested last time also, if you could have mentioned unit-wise utilization levels in our presentation, that would give us an indication how the currently the units are faring up in terms of other capacity and all. So, give some color on these four strategies going ahead. And then I'll have two more questions.
Okay, sure. So, I think, on the four strategies, I think, one, the value-add products, right, which is more complex products, which I think is something that's played out, I would say, over the last almost 12 years now, the kind of product mix that we've done, the realization per kg has gone up quite significantly. I think this is something that will continue to happen. I think the fortunate thing seems to be that, because people are looking to optimize designs, I think products that may have been simpler 10 years ago have become more complex today because of, weight reduction goals and things that... an optimization that's happening in the design of the components. So I think that's one. The other thing is also, of course, the larger size components being, I think we're fairly uniquely positioned to manufacture these larger size type of components with our new Pedaparia plant. Exports, I think, is a story that we've talked about and that we've been growing. And capacity utilization is going to be an important step. Our capacity utilization overall, as I mentioned, was about 58%. Specifically, you had asked about Pedaparia plant. It's about 25% was our capacity utilization last quarter. In terms of cost optimization, I think there's many things that we are doing. I think one of the things that we have talked about also in the past is in terms of, managing our energy cost and having a lot of activities that go both into energy conservation as well as investments into renewable energy.
Sir, on the tonnage front, how much have we done for the 9 months and what should be the tentative number? How are we going to close this year? And going ahead next year, sir, I think so Petcolia was around 40%, if I'm not correct me there, for the second quarter. So have we seen any lesser number of orders being dispatched or why have the utilization levels gone below the last quarter number? Correct me there also, sir.
No, utilization in Pedaparia is marginally less than what it was last quarter, but only marginally, right? I think it's only like 1% or 2% kind of less, not much more than that. Just a couple of percent lower, I think it was in comparison to last quarter. And that specifically, I think some of the decisions that we did take in order to cut back on the number of working days based on certain demand. Because I think in the last quarter, our, production efficiencies were slightly better. And the demand, unfortunately, especially, mid-December, we saw a sudden dip in demand from MNHCV, I think largely driven by, cutting production to control their inventory levels. And January, I think they've kind of come back to the normalcy. But we didn't want to build too much more inventory than what we had built. So that's one of the reasons why we had also cut back on some of this intentionally.
So, sir, Petcolia is 60,000 metric ton installed capacity as per your presentation. So 25% is what we are. What should be the exit rate for this year? And sir, going ahead, say for next financial year, what should be in terms of utilization levels? I think the Poneri and Guntur are well above, sir. If you could give the tonnage wise breakup also, that will give us an understanding how the other two units have fared.
Yeah, so I think, overall, if I look at, where we are right now, I think overall, we've got Gudur at about a 60% kind of utilization. Poneri is running slightly higher than 90% utilization. And, Kalparia is at about a, 23-24% kind of utilization. So I think Kalparia, we can certainly have it well above 30% within the next 2-3 months. There's some actions that are being done. But I think probably by March, we will be in a position where we can get it up to about a 30%+ kind of a number.
And the tonnage-wise, sir, what is our 9-month tonnage number? And for the year, the last quarter, what are our what is our scheduled tonnage that that may happen, taking exports also into account?
So I think for the 9 months so far, our sales tonnage number is 62,700 tons, and our as I mentioned, because there was a dip in some of the productions, we did have a build up of stock. So we actually, our production number is actually closer to 67,000 tons for the 9 months. And I think in this quarter, we expect that it will be somewhere between probably, 21,000 and 24,000, something in that range is what we are expecting for this quarter.
Okay. And the key reason was, sir, from the lower demand from MSCV that you have just articulated to me.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, tractor normally starts, the seasonality of the tractors in terms of their production numbers start to slow down, post Diwali. But this year it started a little earlier, so there's a little bit of a hit on tractor at the beginning of the quarter. And towards the end of the quarter, normally, people ramp up production in December a little bit more to ensure that, their Q4 sales numbers can be met. But December, I think they wanted to do some inventory correction, and so there was a drop in December production of trucks. So that also had an impact.
Sir, just not to harp more on it, sir, but Kalparia investment has not yielded results to us. Maybe 2017-18, after that the downtrend and also Corona and many factors that have played out. But when can we anticipate reasonable return on our investment from this unit? Sir, even at 35% also, I don't think so it will cover the fixed cost. So at what level will it be a break-even investment for us? And this 12 rupees EBITDA for this quarter should be the bottom only, and we should be somewhere in the vicinity of 13 to 14 for the next quarter that we should work out because of the normalization now of the raw material, or 12 to 13 is the appropriate band?
So I think right now, I would say for the current quarter, I would think it would be largely in line with that 12 to 13 kind of a number, right? I think for next year, we are looking at taking it to that 13 to 14. We think we see the opportunity there. I think some of the things that we needed to upgrade in Kalparia to be able to handle the larger parts and all of that, we are doing. Kalparia also, I think at about a 40% utilization level, we will be at, break even at a, PBT level that's there. So that's something that also we are working towards, and we'd like to be able to have that starting Q1 itself of next year.
So next year, Q1 onwards, we can expect...
Sir?
No, I'll just conclude, madam, what sir is just explaining. I'm just adding to that. So, sir, from Q1, we can expect 40% and above utilization levels from Kalparia unit?
We're targeting to move towards that level and hit, break-even there. But it will depend on some of the new product launches. So perhaps that activity, I think we should see the results starting in Q1, and perhaps by Q3 we should see the effect of those results.
And sir, for export, lastly, you mentioned that our run rate will go up to 150 crore per quarter from what existing 120 it is currently. That is what you are giving us. So we can anticipate
over the next, over the next 4 to 5 quarters. Over the next 4 to 5 quarters, that will roughly become, you know, where we will, we expect to see our run rate.
And every quarter, 150 crore.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on lastly, on the renewable segment, if you could give what steps are we taking to lower our power and fuel cost? I think so. Some work was in the annual for the renewable category also.
Sorry to interrupt, sir.
Yeah. Sir, you may answer it and then I'll join the queue.
Okay. So I think on the renewable side, there is investments that are happening on the that are, I would say, some that are on the anvil and some that are, you know, in various steps of progress. You know, we will see investments that we will make in this renewable space in, you know, FY24 as well as FY25. Excuse me. So there's more happening right now. I think we're at about a, you know, 55 to 60% kind of a renewable mix. We'd like to take that up to 80%, and that 80% on a higher capacity utilization obviously means, you know, it's a much bigger impact that it will have. But that's something that we will continue to move towards, and I think 80% is kind of the target that we are looking at for renewables.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. I'll join the queue again.
Thank you very much. Due to shortage of time, we will take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for joining us today. We appreciate your faith in our performance and remain confident of the opportunities that are there ahead. Thank you all again very much.
Thank you.
On behalf of Nelcast Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.